we need in our life as a Christian believer. And so many people today have gotten where we're trusting in all kinds of things, trusting in horses and chariots and not in God. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about faith. And this morning I wanted to share a message. I titled it Increasing Faith Through Love. And it stems from a verse that talks about faith that works by love. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. Peter's the one that shared that. But let's start with some prayer. Father God, we again just acknowledge you as our Creator, as our Savior. We acknowledge you as the Almighty, that there is none greater than you. We acknowledge you that you are holy and just in all your ways, and that we hereby yield ourselves unto you. As Father, we press into your word, we listen, we hear, we allow you to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and even using my voice to spread this message, Father, of hope and increase of faith through love. Father, we're trusting you this morning. Have your way. Do what you want to do in our hearts. Help us be different when we leave than when we came in because of your working power, your work just coming alive in our life. Lord, we're praising you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So, increasing faith through love. I've been meditating on a book of 1 John. If anybody knows, he wrote, there's John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then John, of course, wrote the book of Revelation as well, inspired through the Holy Spirit. But as he wrote, I've been reading 1st John over and over and over again. It's something that God just laid in my heart several weeks ago to start meditating on it. And so I've been reading it, read it in several different versions of the Bible. I've listened to it. You know, some of you know Alexander Scorby, and there's another kind of an Australian accent kind of guy that reads the Bible and stuff on a little Bible app, so the YouVersion, and I've listened to it over and over again while I'm outside working or driving in my car or wherever it is, and just letting it get into me. And it has gotten so far in that even in the middle of the night, a few days ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just felt like God was kind of prompting me to pray and meditate a little bit. So I got up and the first thing that came to mind, I didn't even have to open a Bible, but it was scripture passages right from 1 John. And it was things that I started to meditate on. I started getting understanding on it, not even from rereading it, but it was just already in there. And so contemplating on what those passages meant and thinking about their meaning and things. One of the things that I concluded from doing all this was that the Holy Spirit was letting us know through John that there is a divine connection between certain things. And what I see in 1 John in particular is four particular things. If you look up the words, these four words, they'll be in there over and over and over again in the book of John. Of course, one is love. Okay, John definitely talks about the word love. Another is faith. Okay, there's faith, love, truth, and sin. Okay, which seems like an oddball to be thrown in with faith and love and, you know, these kind of things. But truth and sin are together in the book of 1 John. Okay, obviously, faith and love are two things that we desperately need in our life. Okay, we have to have faith in our life. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith in Him. Okay, and we know that God is love. We're going to probably read that scripture here in a minute. But God is love. So obviously, if we are created in His image and God is love, we're probably going to have love in our life. There's no probably with that. It's easy to see why love is important in our lives. And understandably, there is a connection with sin with these two things as something that we want to eradicate from our lives because of the faith and the love and the truth. Okay, so we want to get rid of sin out of our life. We want to live the righteous life. And what I found with these things, okay, these four different things, is that truth ends up kind of being the key ingredient. We think faith is where it's at or love is where it's at, but truth makes such a difference because if we're not believing and adhering to the truth, then we're believing a lie and we're not going to get to that point. And John makes this very clear in his writing. He gets to this point of, you know what, I want you to walk in love. I want you to live righteously. I want you to live by faith and do all these. But he says you get there by adhering to the truth because truth will bring about love and faith and these other things in your life. Okay, so When we accepted the call to Christ, God laid it on our heart, whatever reason, we came to the end of ourselves, we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we acknowledged that sin was kind of a separator between us and God. I've used the example sharing evangelically or, you know, presenting the message to kids or whoever, but I do the bridge thing where, you know what, we're on this side, God's on this side, and in between us is this bridge of sin, and somehow we have to get across that. There's this gap of sin there, and somehow we have to get across that, and of course that bridge that crosses that is God's grace. Okay, so we acknowledge when we gave our life to Christ that sin was sort of this separator between us and God. Okay, and we made a conscious decision at that moment to turn away from sin and to turn towards God. Okay, in other words, we chose to live a life of repentance. Okay, we chose to live a life. You know, I used to describe repentance as a 180. There's a lot more to it than that, but basically it means you were going this way and now you're going this way. We were headed down the road of destruction, the wide road, right, of destruction, and we turned into that narrow road that leads to God through Christ. Okay, so we made a conscious decision to turn away from sin and to turn towards God. Okay, we chose to live a life of repentance, keeping ourselves from sin. Okay, the best that we possibly can, and yielding ourselves to the righteousness of Christ. Okay, that literally the Bible says, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are made righteous through Him. Okay, so we focus to yield ourselves to Christ instead of sin. God even said things in His Word like, "Be holy, for I am holy." Okay, kind of like, you know, there's more to it than just going to heaven. It's about living a righteous life, living a holy life. God said, "I will dwell in you and walk in you. I will be your God, and you shall be my people." And He said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." Okay, so we know that God has called us to this righteous life, to live right, to do what we need to do. But living in this fallen world, okay, I don't know if you've ever been outside of the church before, right? But living in this fallen world is not easy. Okay, this fallen world has lies, it has deceptions and demonic temptations, things that are drawing us away from God, and they're all around us, which makes it quite difficult at times to never miss the mark. Okay, and that's the definition of sin. Sin means you miss the mark. It's like an arrow, you're shooting at a target and you miss that mark. You don't hit the bullseye, you hit off to the side, or sometimes we hit way off the board, right? Okay, so basically that's what sin is. So it makes it pretty difficult in this world that we live in because it's broken, it's fallen. Okay, so it makes it difficult to never miss the mark. But thankfully, God knew that, and so He intertwined a solution into the saved by grace through faith method of salvation. Okay, He intertwined this right into His plan of salvation. And as John, in 1 John chapter 2, says it this way. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." And I'm going to stop right there, because you can't get any plainer than that if you think it's okay to live in sin. John said, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not." Okay, that's the goal, in other words, sin-free living. Okay. "So my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father named Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Okay, He is the propitiation. That's a King James word, and it literally means the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus stepped in and became that for us. He appeased God's demand for righteousness. He fulfilled that so that we can be in right standing with God by faith in Him. Okay, and that's where our faith comes in. Okay, it's faith in Christ, faith in Jesus. That's where the divine love of God from the Father comes in. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says that hate stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Okay, love comes into the picture. 1 Peter 4:8, Peter said it this way. He said, above all things, have fervent charity, which literally means love. Have fervent love among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Okay, now that was Peter's way of saying that you should love one another the way that Jesus loves you. Because it allows you to see past the mistakes. It allows you to see past the shortfalls of your brother or sister in Christ and see them as a redeemed creation in Christ. Okay, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Christians don't always do it right. Christians don't always hit the mark right. There's a gamut, a whole string of different kinds of Christians and faith beliefs that church doctrines and things out there. And even if it's all, even just in one church where you're all hopefully kind of like-minded and thinking along the same line, even within a body like this, there will be people that maybe don't get one area or another, or do things a little different, or have a struggle from the old man life that is still kind of factors in once in a while into their life. We have anger issues or lust or whatever it is, something that comes in. Okay, so that looking at one another as a redeemed creation in Christ is important. Okay, we look past their faults and failures because Jesus Christ looks past our faults and failures and puts us in a right place with God anyway. John, as we were reading, implies that receiving and walking in God's love, okay, here's where faith works by love. John implies that receiving and walking in God's love is the surest way to keep yourself in the ways of God. Okay, so we're talking about living the right life, living sin-free life kind of stuff. John said, I wish that you sin not. He said, that's the way you're supposed to live. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, John said it this way. And he says, and hereby do we know that we know him, okay, talking about God, if we keep his commandments. Okay, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, New Testament, greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Referring to Christ. In other words, we try to live up to that same example. We yearn for that in our life. John goes on to say this in 1 John 3:17. He said, whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have a need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, and you could almost add the word only, but in deed and in truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, he says, if a man says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, again, he says he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So clearly, love should be emanating from our lives. It is something that is of God, it's from God, and God wants to live it through us. But in order to give love, in order to share love with others, we must first receive love from God. Okay, and here's how this works. See if you can put it all together. Remember, this is increasing your faith through love, right? So let's see if we can put this together. When you know the truth, okay, there's that truth. When you know the truth about how much God loves you, you will not be afraid to approach God. Okay? You will not be afraid of God. You will not be steer yourself clear from God. I can't tell you, it's easy to see in my life how, as a pastor of church, because I recognize who comes and usually who's not there and those kind of things, but it's easy to see when somebody kind of has been coming and all of a sudden they kind of quit coming a little less often and pretty soon they disappear. It's pretty obvious that something is going on in their life. And I can reach out to them and, oh no, everything's fine, just been busy. But the reality is that there's probably more going on than that. Because people have a tendency to avoid church because they associate God with church. And so they avoid that because it feels like, you know, I don't want to go and be around all those lovey people. I don't want all those people hugging me and talking to me. And, you know, they just avoid that because they have something in their life that says, I've messed up, I've missed the mark, and I don't want to be around those kind of people. I don't want to be around God. Remember Adam and Eve? In the beginning, after they fell, they sinned, they hid themselves from God. Okay, that same principle applies to Christians today. People are still doing the exact same thing. They're hiding themselves from God, okay, in one way or another. I'm not saying going to church is the only factor, okay, but probably if you're hiding yourself from God, you're not reading God's word anymore because you don't want God to speak to you because he might speak something about what you think you did that he's so mad about that he's really not mad about. Okay, but clearly, we know that we want to be receiving the love of God. Okay, when you know the truth about how much God loves you, you will not be afraid to approach God. Okay, you have to remember this. There is no fear in love. Okay, everybody heard that scripture before? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I'm going to look at that here in a minute, but that is exactly what this is talking about, is being afraid of God. There is no fear, okay, in love, because perfect love casts out fear so you can approach God. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. He said, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Perfected love in your life is a goal. Okay, just like you sin not, so sin-free living is a goal. Having perfected love in your life is a goal. It is something that if we're not walking in perfect love, we will still have those moments when we're afraid to approach God, or we think that God won't listen to my prayer because I messed up, or we're afraid to hang out with other Christians because they might know about something that's going on in our life, or whatever it is. If we have that kind of fear, we have not perfected love in our life, the love of God. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, he said, We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or mature, or full, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, no fear. I'm not afraid of judgment day anymore, because I know the love of God. Okay, in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, there is a difference between knowing and believing that God loves you. Okay? If you know that God loves you, okay, we sang the song, right? Jesus loves me, he loves me. We all believe that. I believe that. I know, let's see, I better rephrase that. I know that he loves me. God is love, right? He's got to love me. That's who he is. It's his nature. He loves me. If you know that God loves you, yet you're still afraid of God, then you do not believe that God loves you. The disciples said, we know and believe the love that God has for us. It's a coming together where your actions begin to express that I believe what I know. Okay, once it gets in your head, yes, I know Jesus loves me, that's great. But when I start acting like Jesus loves me, then I will have fulfilled that believing part. Okay, it'll make sense. Okay, there is no fear in love. Okay, dread does not exist because complete, full-grown, mature love drives out all fear. Okay, that is knowing that God loves me so intensely. God loves me so much that there is nothing that is going to hinder that love at all. Okay, it is no dread. There's no... How many of you ever made a mistake at work and you have to go in and face your boss? Okay, you have to tell... I did one time when I was back when I used to work for UPS, and everything is safety, 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 safety. We have safety meetings every day of the week. It's safety this, safety that. Drivers are documented if they're unsafe and whatever. So the whole thing's about safety. And so what did I do? I had a rented car as a manager. They gave me a truck, and I had parked next to a gas meter, I guess, and they have these big cement and steel posts that kind of go in, you know, like a triangle around that little gas meter. And I pulled up right next to it. It was on the right-hand side of the truck. So I'm just going to lunch one day, and I went, jumped in the truck, and I went to pull out, and I cranked my wheel and swung my fender. Literally drove up over part of that thing and crinkled the whole side of that truck. Punched a hole right through the door. It was bad. So I had to call my boss and tell him that this guy that preaches safety, 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 and documents and does all this stuff, that I just got in an accident, okay? And every day when I send the drivers out, no accidents, no injuries. That was our motto. No accidents, no injuries. Do what you got to do to have no accidents and no injuries. So I get in an accident, and I had to call the boss. Thank God he was a nice guy, okay? But that dread was there. I did not want to call him. In fact, it was one of those things that I just forced myself to do it because otherwise I just wouldn't have done it. You know, didn't want to do it. I kind of dreaded having to make that call. I knew that, no, he's going to be upset or whatever. And it wasn't just him. It was the guys above him that I was mostly afraid of. But my point is that you have that dread. If you're living in dread of God because you made a mistake, you tripped, you stumbled, you fell, you did something you shouldn't have done, you know it was against God and against what he wanted in your life, it stepped across the line in immorality or whatever, and you're dreading facing God, you still have fear in your life and love has not been perfected. Okay, perfect love is what we're after. Perfect love is a beautiful place to live. Okay, it's a place where I'm not afraid of God. God understands me. God made me. And so if I make a mistake, God put a provision in his plan of salvation that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. So God had already factored that in, that there are times when we may miss it, even though our goal is not to. And so we don't give in and just do it all the time because of the love that is perfected in us. We know that that's not the way that we want to live and that God wants us to live, or the way that he wants us to. Okay. Fear involves the expectation of divine judgment. Okay. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected. Okay, not matured or grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love for them. The disciples were said to have known and believed the love that God had toward them. They didn't make a mistake and then think, oh man, Jesus is going to be so mad at me. You know, and I'm putting down the chosen, but if you watch that, they kind of have that attitude. They think that, you know, if you watch Mary or whoever, she had fallen, and so she's just sure. She avoided Jesus. Went to the bar and got drunk kind of thing, right? Avoided Jesus, didn't want to be around the rest of the group. Okay, that was because she had fear in her mind that this, I'm still going to be judged and condemned for what I did. Okay, the disciples didn't do that. Okay, they didn't think that Jesus was going to get mad at them. They didn't say, you know what, he's probably going to kick me out of the group. He's probably going to take away all the authority he gave unto me. I'm probably not going to be able to cast devils out and pray for people and heal and all that stuff anymore. And they didn't think that. They didn't go there, okay, because they knew that Jesus truly loved them. Okay, that's how they could be confident and walk in the right way, even when walking in the right way meant they're going to be ridiculed and persecuted, and maybe even stoned or death, put to death, okay, imprisoned. That's how they could be confident to do those things, to live that way, even though they faced some of these trials that would come because of it. The Bible tells us, Jesus said that no greater love has any man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus laid down his life for you and I. Okay, and not just that. Jesus went beyond just laying his life down. Let's say that you know, a bus is racing by. It's not like Jesus just stepped out there, shoved you out of the way, and took the brunt of the bus, right? It's not like he just stepped in front of a bullet for you and saved your life. He took it to an extent that says, I not only save your life, but I'm bearing all the punishment for all your guilt, all your shame, all your condemnation. All that is going on me. And then he had it nailed to the cross. He took it away, the Bible says, nailing it to that cross. Okay, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, John said it like this. He said, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be that propitiation for our sins. See, fear is nothing short of doubting God's love for you. Okay, and this is going to cross a line probably for some of you, but fear is sin, because doubt is sin. I don't want to live in doubt. I don't want to live in fear, and I don't want to live in doubt. I don't want to be unbelieving. I don't want to live in a way that is in any way displeasing to God. I know he forgives us, but I do not want to live that way. Fear is a lack of faith in God, which is a sin. And if we remember that we are called to eradicate sin out of our life, we're called to live a holy life, we don't want to live in fear. Okay, Romans 14:23, the Apostle Paul said that whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, if it's not of faith, what is it? It's probably doubt. Okay, so here's how faith and love work together. Okay, your faith increases when you know how much, you know and believe how much God loves you. Your faith will increase. You will begin to live more and more by faith. 1 John 4:18, we read, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Okay, he that fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, he that fears has not grown to maturity in their understanding of God's unrestrained love. How much does he love you? Immensely. More than you could probably even imagine. When the Apostle Paul was addressing the Christians in Galatians, they were, you remember that their story, they were trying to earn God's love and trying to do certain things, going back to living the way they did before Jesus and some of these things. They were trying to earn this free gift. He reminded them that faith works by love. Okay, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, he said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but simply faith which works by love. And then he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? For this persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. And if it didn't come from God, then who does that persuasion come from? It's the enemy trying to get you to believe a lie. You have to know and believe the truth that God loves you unconditionally. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The answer is a resounding no. None of these things separate us from the love of Christ. But you know what does? Your own mind believing the lies that Satan tells you that you are not worthy to receive God's love. That's what separates you in your mind. It doesn't separate you from God's side. He has this unending love. It will never stop. In our minds, we turn it off. We begin to think that it's not true. It's not real. It's not happening. Okay, it's your own emotions that expect rejection instead of acceptance. It's your own conscience that keeps tabs on every little thing that you do wrong. and then wrongfully assumes that they are going to separate you from God forever because you made a mistake. Okay, but there is forgiveness of sins offered through Jesus. Okay, remember, there's a little element of truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ washed you clean of your sins by His own blood. So you have to grab on to that absolute truth in the Word of God. And now that theme is evident in the first letter of John. I've been talking about 1 John. I haven't elaborated a whole lot on the truth, but I want you to know that that is the key and the element that gets us to that place of walking in love and faith. Okay, that whole letter of 1 John is a guide to rooting out falsehood. Okay, it's about getting rid of anything that is not of God, getting out all the lies so that the truth of Jesus can be revealed. Okay, the enemy is going to lie to you about how much or even if God really does love you. He will throw things at you and say, "It's just, you know, you made a mistake, you're a dirty dog, God doesn't love dogs." Okay, he'll throw that at you. Okay, but that is not the truth. Okay, the truth is on your side. Okay, the truth is in the pudding. You ever heard that expression? Jesus laid His life down for you. That's enough for me. That tells me that He went all the way. Okay, only a true Savior would actually die for you. You know, I know many great leaders over the centuries have come along and they've all said, "Look at me, look at me." And Jesus Christ, God sent His Son Jesus to live as a humble servant and say, "Look at Him, look at Him." And He pointed people to God. He did that so that we could live the life that God called us to. Jesus followed through on that divine expression of God's love, not just by coming and living a perfect life and going home, but by coming and living and dying on our behalf. He bore all of our punishment, He bore our guilt, all of our sin and condemnation on the cross so that we could be righteous enough to go be with God, to stand before Him on Judgment Day without condemnation. You know, the more that you know and acknowledge the purest love that God has for you, the less you'll be inclined to do things that are against Him. Okay, that's why I live a righteous life, the life that I can, the most that I can, because I know that God loves me and I don't want to do anything against Him. He is more than just a God in outer space. He is in me. He's my best friend. Okay, and I want to do things and know that He is working in and through my life. Okay, so this morning as I end, just know, believe, accept, and receive the truth of His love for you. Know that God loves you unconditionally. Praise God. Father, we exalt You as the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the Savior. Father, You are have a plan through Your Son Jesus. We have believed on Him. And now at this point, Lord, we need to understand that love that You have for us. Show us what You did through Jesus. Not just the living and dying and that part of it, Lord, but show us that expression of Your love that You gave us through Him. I pray that we get an understanding deeper than ever before. I pray that we walk out knowing that You truly do love us. You care for us. You did what You did for us for that purpose to reconcile us and bring us unto You, Father, so You could pour out Your love and Your blessing, Your favor upon us, Lord. We walk in Your anointing today. We live in Your love and thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen.